Welcome to the Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Today is Wednesday, February 24th. The time is 10:03 a.m., and we are here in studio ready for a double Tennessee game day here on a casual Wednesday afternoon. Man, it's good to be in the studio. It's good to be here. And hey, no matter how you are listening to us today, no matter how you're turning in, whether it is on the radio at 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, if it's on the Periscope right now, which is live on our Facebook and Twitter accounts, if it is through the podcast, hello to all our podcast viewers, or any other great way, we wanted to say welcome. Welcome into the Blitz today, 865-546-8200. That is your number to call in. And of course, we would love to hear from you. Guys, I mentioned today, it is a double game day in the Tennessee sports world. 4:30 p.m., Tennessee baseball plays another game against Arkansas Pine Bluff after absolutely spanking. What's their mascot, real quick? Do you know? I don't.
The Lions.
Oh, we talked their weird mascot. They absolutely spanked the Lions yesterday, especially there at the end of the game. So Tennessee got another game at 4:30 today. Tennessee basketball tipping off at 9 o'clock p.m. tonight. Should be a fun day. With that all being said, hey, my name is Rick Butler. Joined to my left, oh, of course, that is Brandon Orrick. And back behind the booth, the one and only Chance Collins. Good morning to the both of you. How are you doing this morning?
Doing pretty good, Rick.
Okay, good to hear.
Yeah, I can't complain. Feel good.
Good to hear. Is the how's the week so far? Is it moving fast? Moving slow? Anything good? Anything bad?
It's just been an average week. Been average.
Sure. Nothing really standing out. I got to say, it's actually moving a little bit fast for me with all the nice weather that we've had. Could spend a little bit more time outdoors. Maybe go for a little bit of a walk or a run or something like that. So that's at least made my week go by a little bit faster.
You look like a walker.
I look like a walker?
Yeah. Like one of those people in the mall. Do a little power walking.
In the mall?
Yeah, do a little power walking. You know, get your mind right. I feel like you'd be a walker to relax your mind.
To go along with his mouse.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Jerry at Rick.
Yeah.
Should be a new Twitter name.
Jerry
That'd be
at
pretty good.
Trick.
That'd be
yeah.
pretty good.
Nah. Week's been going by fine.
Yeah?
Depending on how this game goes tonight. Is it going to go by a little slower or go by even quicker?
Yeah, that is certainly on
the
question.
What will the mood be?
That is certainly on the minds of people today. Tennessee Vanderbilt tonight, 9 o'clock p.m. from Memorial Gymnasium. Brandon, do you enjoy watching the games at Memorial Gymnasium? Because it's a little bit different of a TV experience.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I've been to a game down there.
Have you?
Yeah, it's a really cool place to watch a game. Live, anyway.
So, for anybody out there who doesn't know why, give them like the 15-second explanation about why Vanderbilt's basketball stadium, court, arena, a little bit different.
It's just so different from Thompson Bowling and some of the other just...
Well, the layout of it.
The big arenas in the SEC. I mean, it feels almost like a high school gym. It's just got a good atmosphere. It's small, and I mean, part of it probably helped because it was the game that I guess it was Barnes' second year. It was the year before they kind of took off, so we were still kind of struggling. But it was Grant and Admiral and Robert Hubbs, that team,
mm-hmm.
Went down there and absolutely pummeled the Commodores in Nashville.
It's a weird layout. You have the teams that sit on the end lines.
And their floor is gigantic. Like,
yeah,
that's
it's very
one of the
wide.
First things you notice.
Yeah.
It's like
wide,
a square. A
lot of area on the sides. Like I said, it's a big square. And like you say, you have the opposing teams underneath the baskets instead of on the sides. It's always
yeah.
– I always thought it was – I've never – I don't think I've – no, actually, I might have been there. I think I did go to Vanderbilt – for an exhibition NBA game back in the 90s. They used to do them at Vandy and then the old Municipal Auditorium in downtown Nashville. I went to some of those. I think I might have seen, but I've never seen a college game there. But it always has been kind of an intriguing arena to me as well.
And their floor is raised.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like that stage floor.
Yeah, it is. It's certainly always something that I notice whenever we watch a Tennessee game that is at Vanderbilt, or at least something that's going on at Vanderbilt. It's a very unique court. And again, like Brandon said, a very unique gymnasium, one that I would certainly like to go to at some point. But, yep, we will be talking about that game. We'll be giving you the preview of that game. Everything you need to know about Tennessee and Vanderbilt coming up today at 9 o'clock p.m. When these two teams faced off earlier this year in Knoxville, Tennessee took a 20-point win against the Commodores, 81-61 at home. So again, hopefully you can continue to dominate against Vanderbilt like you did earlier in this year. But of course, we're going to get into all that and more coming up here a little bit later on today. Guys, it's actually a fairly big news day around the sports world right now. We got plenty of things to get into, plenty of things to talk about. Of course, really the biggest story in the news world right now that's not Tennessee related, Tiger Woods in a car accident yesterday and suffers significant leg injuries. This was, wow, what an unexpected story that came out yesterday. He's going to film something, film a, you know, one of the series that, you know, these sports producers put out where you're hanging out with other sports celebrities and things like that. He's going to play a round of golf with, I believe it was Drew Brees and Justin Herbert. Then, again, was in a car crash in the Los Angeles area, seriously injured, underwent several hours of emergency surgery to repair what doctors called, quote, significant orthopedic injuries to his lower right leg and ankle. Did they have to use the jaws of life? Did they not have to use the jaws of life? There's been a little bit of conflicting reports about some of the things that happened immediately after the crash, but we do know even that, you know, he had to be pulled out to the extent that they had to take out the windshield, take him out through that way. So seriously, a wild, wild story in the sports world. We do know that, you know, obviously still kicking next morning, so that's about the best thing possible. But man, what a story. What an unexpected story.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was not really paying attention to Twitter or anything yesterday afternoon, and I just opened Twitter and saw that almost everywhere. But thankfully, he's going to be okay.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
So, strange circumstances.
Yeah, man, tough stuff for Tiger, trying to come back and get back to being a great golfer. You know, this is definitely going to sideline him. Who knows, like, some substantial injuries that maybe that he's going to have that maybe he doesn't even play golf again. I know that's the last thing on probably him and his family's mind, but for any sports fan, you got to be thinking, is he ever going to be able to get back out there again after something like this? But good thing that he has – you know, he's stable and no life-threatening injuries.
Yeah, you are not wrong about that at all. And I do want to kind of get into this story a little bit later on when we have some more time, because there is some interesting parts of the story kind of going along to everything we know about kind of what happened during the crash, what happened right after the crash. And again, there is nothing that seems to be on the surface controversial about this event. So many times in our sports world, when something happens off the court or off the field, there's a little bit of controversy sidelined into it somewhere. Doesn't look like that's the case for the car accident involving Tiger Woods yesterday. But again, we will give you all the information that you need to know about that story coming up a little bit later on in the day. Brandon, did you see, I don't know if you got a chance to watch it, you might not have yesterday, but did you see the baseball team?
I didn't watch them, but I saw the score.
Oh, 21-1 in Tennessee's fourth game of the season. Tennessee wins 21-1. They were heading into the eighth inning up 10-1. And then all of a sudden, put up, 11 runs in the eighth inning. It was wild. Wild. The bats are out, man. The bats are out, and this baseball team is fun to watch early on.
Yeah, I mean, they've definitely got power. I'm just hesitant to give them too much praise. I mean, yeah, great.
Sure.
You beat Pine Bluff, but, I mean, we all know what the SEC's like as far as a baseball conference. And, I mean, I think that we've definitely made a lot of improvement from where we were when Tony Vitello was first hired, but I want to see what we look like in conference play.
Yeah, I get that. You know, if really basketball has taught us anything, it is to keep a level head, right? Especially because you can be going against some of these teams early on in the year that give you a little bit of confidence. But Brandon's absolutely right, man. These games are not going to matter the first time that Florida rolls into town. The first time that Arkansas rolls into town, that's going to be important. But, man, I don't know. You get a little bit of excitement early on in the season. In that eighth inning, that explosion of an eighth inning that Tennessee had, you had, what is that, four doubles, a home run, single, walk. I mean, it just really was miraculous. 11 runs. So Tennessee baseball plays Arkansas Pine Bluff again in the second of their two-game series today at 4:30 p.m. You can be watching that on ESPN+. Of course, we'll be talking about that a little bit tomorrow as well. But guys, with that being said, obviously that is not everything that we're going to be talking about today. There is still plenty, plenty more to get into. And of course, hey, we want to hear from you at home or at work, or I don't know where you are, but hey, we want to hear from you. 865-546-8200. Sprint, real quick, tonight, 9 o'clock p.m., initial thoughts, gut reaction. What are you feeling about this game?
I think we win, but I'm expecting Vanderbilt to give us all we want. I mean, it's tough to win on the road regardless, but you add the fact that you're playing in a different type of setup with the way that Memorial is laid out, and Vanderbilt's been playing better recently. I mean, they played Alabama within four. They played Kentucky close.
Within four, actually, the same exact score.
82-78. I mean, Vanderbilt's been playing better, and we've not.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I still think Tennessee should take care of business, but I don't expect this to be any kind of blowout win or anything like that.
3 games ago, Vanderbilt beat Mississippi State. Then the next game, they lost to Kentucky by four. The next game lost to Alabama by four as well. Again, both of those a score of 82-78. Kind of strange, but Brandon's right. You know, this is not right now your average Vanderbilt team that just, you know, you're going to expect to just lay down and Tennessee's going to be able to walk all over. I mean, if anything, wouldn't you believe that Alabama would have thought that? A team that's 13-1 in conference, 18-5 overall, a top 10 team in the country? You probably would have, if you were Alabama, probably would have thought, hey, this is going to be easy. Hell, Vanderbilt is coming to our house. We're just going to be able to play our game, get in, get out, move on. Yeah, Vanderbilt giving them all that they could handle. 82-78, that was not a comfortable win for Alabama. So Brandon's right. Plenty of things that could happen today. But you're also right, Brandon, the fact that Tennessee has to win. Have to. No doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean you've got to get back on track. Yeah. You have to.
We will give you a little bit more of the preview coming up next right here on the Blitz, including the players you need to be watching, the players that we believe Tennessee needs to have step up in order to win this game, and what does winning this game mean, right? We'll kind of break that down in a little bit more detail about the future of the rest of the regular season heading into the tournaments. But hey, should be good stuff. Guys, we got a full menu today. Don't go anywhere. 865-546-8200. We'll be right back with a little bit of Tennessee basketball preview right after this. All right, here we go. Back here on the Blitz 1021. Hold on real quick. Gotta make sure it's all right for the Periscope people. And there we go. Hello to our Periscope friends out there.
Why don't you just leave it live?
I don't know. We've just always been told to take it off.
You afraid people are going to look at you during the break?
Yeah, they're going to see me pick my nose.
Just don't pick your nose.
There's a little bit of privacy here on the radio. You know, I really thought that's what we were getting into this business for. The privacy aspect, to just sit behind a microphone and sit in this remote studio where, you know, dark walls and it's kind of a, you know, an unforgiving place. Then we bring the cameras in immediately and now you gotta, you know, look your best every day.
Yeah.
I kind of like it. People get to see you candid during the break.
That is true.
They can't hear you.
That is true.
So you're good there.
That is true. Speaking of somebody else who's going to need to do their best today, number 25, Tennessee Volunteers taking on Vanderbilt in Nashville tonight, 9 o'clock p.m. Tennessee is actually has jumped up to an 8-point favorite in this game, over under set at 142 points. Now Tennessee is 15-6 overall in the year, 8-6 in conference, 3-2 in their last five games. Wins over Kentucky, Georgia, South Carolina, losses to Kentucky and LSU. Vanderbilt on the year, 6-12, 2-10 in conference. They are 1-4 in their last five games, only win against Mississippi State. But we did tell you a second ago, Alabama and Kentucky both only beat Vanderbilt by 4 points in their two most recent games. So, you know, I think a lot of people might look at Vanderbilt, right? And what we always think about Vanderbilt. Man, we're at the end of the year. Like, talk about people who've really got nothing to play for. What does Vanderbilt have to play for right now? They know they're going to be the last seed in the tournament. Maybe. No, you can't even get past A&M. You got too many losses for that. But either way,
they're not the worst team in the conference, though.
Vanderbilt is still fighting at the end of the year. They don't want to lay down for people. They don't want to lay down for Alabama, who's the best team in the league. They gave them everything they could handle. So I promise you, do not go into this game tonight just expecting a stereotypical Tennessee versus Vanderbilt matchup. Now, if we get that, thank God. That's fantastic. Could maybe even make for an earlier night. But as far as things are going right now with Tennessee playing as inconsistent as they are, just had a 15-point loss to Kentucky at home, Vanderbilt playing above the level of their competition right now.
Is Triple J playing tonight? Anybody know?
Let me find out.
I have not heard any updates.
But I mean,
they need him.
I do have an injury report. Hold on.
I mean, you said that they're going to be the last seed, and they may very well be, but they're not the worst team in the conference.
So,
A&M is, I think A&M is by far the worst team in the league. They just haven't played nearly as many games. I think they're about the same as South Carolina. But I think they've made improvements.
Scottie Pippen Jr. is a very, very good basketball player. He can score the ball when Tennessee players can't.
So, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I expect Tennessee to win this game. But I don't think it's going to be easy. I think they're going to give us all they want. I mean, just remember a few years ago when we were number one. With the Grant and Admiral team, Grant had to score 45 points for us to beat them.
Yeah.
And that was when they went winless in the conference.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're going to give you all they want. I mean, it's Tennessee Vanderbilt. Whether we see them as a big rival or not, while they're down, they still view us as a big rivalry game.
Yeah, I think that in a year like this, when you're looking at Vanderbilt and – again, what are they, 2-10 in conference play, 6-12 on the year? Man, there's not a lot of great things that's been going on for them. They've certainly had controversy around their head coach. Jerry Stackhouse has made the news for, you know, not great reasons or things like that. If Vanderbilt can finish off their season with a win against Tennessee, that's huge. Like, that's what they're playing for. And again, I think that's a big thing for a team who doesn't have, you know, a win-loss record to play for, who doesn't have a tournament spot to really kind of play after. You play for your rivalries. You play to beat the teams that look down on you. So that's what Vanderbilt is obviously going to try to do tonight. Brandon, you asked a second ago about the injury status of Josiah Jordan James. Sophomore has missed the last two games with a wrist injury as Tennessee beat South Carolina and dropped a game to Kentucky. Here's what Rick Barnes said about the sophomore status heading into the game tonight. And again, this goes back to Monday. Coach Barnes said, quote, "Yes, it is a sprain, but he is trying. I mean, he is doing everything he can. We keep doing what we need to do from a medical side. Believe me, we need him. His leadership is very valuable to us, which I think is evident Saturday since we missed that. But with that said, he's doing all he can, and it's just a day-to-day deal, and we'll see what happens between now and whenever he can get back, but he is trying." To me, I immediately right there, something kind of, there's a little bit of a light bulb moment when he says at the end, "We will see whatever happens between now and whenever he can get back." Maybe if there was a, who knows, he could step out on the court tonight. I could be wrong about this, and that could be fantastic. But to me, maybe if he was expected to play against Vanderbilt, maybe he says we'll see what happens between now and the Vanderbilt game. But hey, maybe he just doesn't want to put an exact date or an exact game on a return in case something else happens.
Yeah.
I just worry if this does get prolonged without kind of saying any, you know, well, we're going to hope he's going to be back by the end of the regular season. We're going to hope he's going to be back for this game.
Yeah, I mean, I get not putting a timetable on it, but I mean, I guess if you can save him and get him back for tournament time, I guess that's...
Yeah, I mean, that's probably...
That's ideal, but, I mean, kind of need him now, I think.
It's probably a smarter thing to do to an extent, you know, to not go ahead and say, you know, an exact timetable that you're looking on or that the team has, but certainly from a fan perspective or from somebody who's watching the team, you worry a little bit about future nagging injuries because we've certainly seen that Tennessee needs every piece it has. We've seen games where Tennessee can win and Tennessee can look fairly dominant with a couple of the pieces on their roster. But we also know that Tennessee has a hard time stringing together wins. In order to do that, you need everybody. We've been talking about some games, while Fulkerson wasn't here, while Bailey wasn't here, while Pons wasn't here, while Springer wasn't here, while Johnson wasn't here in this game. Every once in a while, of course, it's going to happen, and that's normal. But man, this is where it starts to matter once this next tournament hits, and then once the March tournament hits. You're going to need all the pieces you have working together on this team. And Josiah Jordan James, one of, maybe even, the most critical to that lineup. Gonna be good to get him back whenever that is. Again, hopefully tonight, but nothing definitive.
I guess we'll see at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I guess we will see.
Yeah, they're going to need him. I mean, he provides a spark, and just we've talked about it since he's been here.
He
does all the little things.
I think, I mean, more than just a spark, I think he's a calming presence on the floor. He's almost an extension of Rick Barnes.
And Barnes has said that.
On the floor and kind of helps. I mean, I think the offense just runs so much more smoothly whenever he's on the floor.
Yeah, he's your truly, like, your only legitimate leader. You've got other guys that have led in different moments that have looked like they could be leaders, but he's been the only true legitimate leader, and that started even last season. That's what Barnes talked about, why he's been so tough on him. He's talked about him being an extension on the floor and how he is one of the – probably the leader on the team.
9 p.m. tonight, Tennessee Vanderbilt live from Memorial Gymnasium. Tennessee takes on Vanderbilt on the road. We'll still be talking about that game a little bit on later today. But we will go ahead and move off the basketball game for now. 865-546-8200. In case you want to talk a little bit about the game, a little bit about football, or maybe a little bit about something else, go ahead and give us a call. This is The Blitz. 15-time major champion and winner of 82 PGA Tour tournaments, Tiger Woods. So here's a little bit about what we know. now following the report, according to ESPN. In a statement posted by Tigers' Twitter account at 12:30 a.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday, Chief Medical Officer and Interim CEO of Harbor UCLA Medical Center said that Wood suffered comminuted open fractures, bones that were broken into more than two pieces, and with breaks in the skin in the upper and lower portions of the tibia and fibula of his right leg. Ew!
It's never good.
Bones going through the skin?
Yeah, I believe they call that a compound fracture in the medical field, Rick.
Man. I don't even... I would be done if I ever saw that. Much less on myself. Can't ever imagine a situation where you're looking down and you're like, wow, that's what my bones look like. Ugh.
I mean, I imagine it's very painful.
Actually, well, I don't want to... I set that up to make it be like, actually, I've had that before. It's not that painful at all. But, you know, the story goes on to say that when the original officer who got to the car crash, he said, quote, I spoke to him. I asked him what his name was. He told me his name was Tiger, and at that moment, I immediately recognized him. He said Tiger was able to speak to me lucidly, who appeared incredibly calm, although probably because he was in shock.
No, yeah, definitely.
You know, you're accordioned in a car around a tree or something. I don't know. But either way, because of damage to the front of the vehicle and the fact that the SUV had been laying on its side, responders had to extricate Woods from the car through its windshield. L.A. County Fire Department Chief Darrell Osby said that responders used a pry bar and an axe to remove the windshield and pull Woods to safety. Villanueva noted that the airbags deployed, that the cab of the SUV was still intact, which allowed Woods a cushion to survive the crash. Airbags. Now, you watched the Tiger Woods documentary, didn't you?
I've watched the first part.
Are you planning on watching the second part?
Yes.
What has been the most interesting part to you, or at least anything that you might not have known about beforehand?
I didn't realize that he was basically a prodigy from the time he was born until, I mean, it's just insane. Like, a year, like, months old, and was, like, sitting in a high chair or something, swinging a golf club.
Really?
And then by the time he could walk, he'd walk over and hit it. It's insane.
So just so you're not even saying, like, a child prodigy in the sense that you just have, like, a really talented kid. But also, like, the fact that he really, like, he was swinging the golf club.
Yes. I would recommend anybody. I mean, it's like I said, I've just watched the first part, but it's really good.
I've not had a chance to watch it yet. That's why I was kind of asking you about it. Chance, have you gotten a chance to watch the Tiger Woods documentary?
No, I have not. You're talking about the newest one. No, I haven't seen that one.
A lot of people say it's very, very good.
Yeah. No, I heard it was really good. HBO does a lot of great HBO films like that when it comes to sports documentaries. They always have for a lot of years, but I haven't seen that one yet. I've seen some old stuff, and I've got, like, old Tiger book about his life growing up. This is, like, when he was still in his heyday, but I haven't seen the new one.
So I had seen this on a – and just while we got a minute or two more. I had seen this on a tweet yesterday, and I apologize to whoever sent this tweet out. I cannot find it, or I cannot think of it. But just off the top of your head, who is – in the classification, and we'll just even throw a Mount Rushmore, who is on that tier of the greatest individual sport athletes ever? Tiger, Serena, Phelps, Tyson?
Pretty good list.
Well, most dominant in their sports.
Well, individual sports.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Most dominant in their sports. I mean, it has to be Tiger's at the top.
I think that's my Mount Rushmore.
Well, his many years of dominance. I don't know if anybody's ever had
Muhammad Ali.
Yeah,
I'd probably put Ali over Tyson.
Yeah, yeah, I would say so too.
Serena's in.
Yeah, Serena might be the strongest dominant.
And Phelps
for the most years. Well, Phelps, of course.
Not taking Phelps out.
But like Tiger might have had the longest run. Like Jordan had a really long run, but Tiger had an amazing run of being number one in golf. being individual sport like that, like it's a lot tougher than, you know, having a Scottie Pippen alongside of you and, you know, having a supporting cast around you. And then Serena too. So I'd say Serena and Tiger, like you said, Phelps, Ali is up there. But I would even say, I mean, he got beat by a couple great boxers in his day too. Hmm. Serena and Tiger though, probably at the top.
Yeah, I think those are my first two. We might put that out on the Twitter later. Just see what people think about it. What is your Mount Rushmore of individual sport athletes? But while you're thinking about that, we will we'll take a little bit of a detour. We'll head over to the phone lines, the G3 Help Me Hotlines, and get a call from one of our absolute favorites, Brandon. He is on the line. It is D.R. Vol, or as some like to say, D.R. Ball. D.R. Vol, welcome into the show. How you doing?
Yeah, anything that's radio appropriate, I guess you can call me for right now, guys.
Hey, man, welcome in. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I hope y'all are doing good. You know, with Tiger, I know it's way, way too early to speculate, but, you know, with his history of back problems, it makes you wonder if this is it for him, because
I know
he's going to have to go through rehab and change the way you walk, and that's going to mess with your back. Mm-hmm. And the problem with open fractures like that, I don't know if y'all remember watching the Alex Smith documentary, but those are really highly susceptible to infection. And Alex Smith went through that, and that's what they talked about in his documentary, mm-hmm. about how he almost lost his leg several times because of it.
Yeah, you're right. And it's tough, right? Because I don't think any of us were, you know, we were all expecting maybe a little bit more out of the, you know, out of Tiger's final run. Nobody was really expecting it to, you know, to potentially get cut off all of a sudden, but it could be a potential that we're looking at right now.
Yeah, and of course, way too early for that, but man, it does make you think that's it.
Yeah, you got to hope for the I want to see Tiger back out on the course so bad. Obviously, 24 hours ago, and now even more, knowing the uphill battle that's going to come, but hey, we did get to see that Masters win a couple years ago. Who knows? Maybe there's still a little bit of magic left.
Speaking of magic, Rick, I got to applaud you for your tweet the other day. You know which one I'm talking about, because it went viral there.
Speaking of magic, I see what you're saying there.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That was beautiful. Tennessee football and throwing in Marvel in there, that was probably one of the most perfect tweets I've found. I bookmarked it.
You know, Brandon and I have been watching the show this whole time, but Brandon was, you got a little behind in the last couple. So I've had this tweet. I was trying to show it to Brandon. I was trying to get Brandon's advice and working it out, but he hadn't seen it yet. So I couldn't even show it to him. I couldn't get any of his opinion when crafting it out. And then we watched it last night, and now he was finally able to, be in on that spoiler. But I'd like to believe, right here, right now, I'd like to go ahead and say that maybe none of Tennessee's heartbreaks have ever been their fault. I'd love to think there was a higher power just, you know, orchestrating the entire thing.
Yeah, see, this whole time I thought it was Fulmer, but I guess you were right. It was her. So, guys, you have a good day.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you very much.
Maybe Fulmer is Agatha.
Oh. I think there's maybe a little shape-shifting going on, potentially. Those witches, man, they can do a lot.
Somebody also want to throw in Earnhardt.
Earnhardt.
Oh, Richard Petty, the king.
Raise hell, praise Dale.
All right, here we go. Back here on the Blitz, 10:48 a.m. And we'll waste no further time. Guys, Tennessee put out a nice little video on the Vol Football Twitter account just about an hour ago. Team kind of going through some strength and conditioning drills, it looks like. And now normally this would just be something that maybe you see on the timeline. You might click it, you might not. You scroll through it, you whatever. You move on, right? One of those fun little hype videos that the team posts out all the time. But there might be something more into this one if you kind of dig down deep into it. From our own Charlie Collier, he sends us this video.
R.I.P.
And he says,
Charlie's not dead. Yeah, people think it Charlie died. Charlie's is out today.
Well, if he sent us a video, obviously he's not dead.
It's like, but like, think about somebody who didn't hear, and Rick's like, from my own Charlie Collier, you're like giving this. This is what, and then like, R.I.P. Like,
the last thing
did Charlie die?
Take it.
Did he die? Like, no, Charlie's not dead. But go ahead, Rick.
I would have been our leading story. You know, something had happened. To
I mean, I hope so.
So, anyways, Charlie sends us this video. He's fine, but he says, boys. Think there's a pretty darn good chance Crevarious Crouch is in this video. Now, why is that important? Crevarious Crouch has been one of the names that have been linked to the transfer portal, have been linked to the idea of transferring out of Tennessee, just has been one of these names that have had a question mark basically atop their head ever since the brand new staff came in. The old staff left. So much turnaround has been going on. He has been one of the players that, again, didn't really know what was going to happen, but it looks like maybe in this video, Crouch might be with the team right now working out.
Oh, no, I mean, he definitely is.
Definitely is?
Yeah. I'm looking at him right now. That's him.
Oh, yeah, I've like...
It says Crouch
okay,
on the back.
Okay, so there you go.
Yeah, I've already like done screenshot it and everything. I was
so
about
100%
to tweet, yeah, like
confirmation.
Yeah, it's him. It says Crouch on the back.
There you go, then. So Crevarious Crouch is working out with the Tennessee football team. Again, he was one of those guys that, I got to be honest, maybe about a week ago, I would have thought that he would have been a tough name to maybe bring back, but hopefully it looks like the Tennessee, new defensive staff, maybe Tim Banks, who knows? Maybe even a Brian Jean Mary, the linebackers coach, which Tennessee has not officially announced yet, but we expect them to. Maybe one of them has talked to him a little bit, but hey, it's pretty good news here. Just in a little bit of a workout video that Tennessee sent out, and we can find some good information on it.
Definitely is him. Definitely. That's a good thing. If
you're
able to keep him to stay.
Yes.
Definitely going to help out.
I mean, Brandon, you mentioned yesterday, man, didn't Tennessee have the most players
in the
transfer
SEC
portal?
Yes, 25.
Yeah, I saw somebody say, at least we're number one in something yesterday.
Yeah, and it's still showing Crouch in the transfer portal.
Okay.
At least according to 247, has his destination undetermined, but looks like he will be back. To'o To'o still in the transfer portal. Is he still in there?
Yes. I don't believe that he has officially jumped.
I saw no
out
Hank
yet.
Sightings on in the video.
No Hank T in the video.
I didn't. And I scoured. I did.
Also, I meant to say this yesterday, but I'd seen this on Twitter from Zach Reagan. 24/7 Sports has unveiled their transfer portal rankings. So this kind of goes hand in hand to what you were talking about, Brandon. Hank T is ranked number 3. Eric Gray ranked number 4. Wanya Morris ranked number 7. Keyshawn Lawrence ranked number 9. Ty Chandler ranked number 12. Jameer Johnson ranked number 39. That is a lot of lost talent for Tennessee. Let me ask you guys this question real quick. Actually, this is perfect timing. I got to tell you, I cannot stand it. It makes me want to delete the app. When people use the most lazy take I've ever heard in my whole life, the most lazy take. Why are you getting mad about players leaving a 3-7 team? Were they really that good if you went 3-7? Were they really that good if you went 3-7? Why do we really need them? You're really getting this upset about players leaving a 3-win team? Hey, that's the most lazy, stupid thing I've ever heard. Were you not watching this Tennessee team? Did you not watch all the things that happened in the offseason? Did you not watch our entire staff, all the way from the athletic director to the dudes who run the recruiting on the most low-level tier possible? They're all out. Because they were the ones that created the dysfunction. They were the ones that absolutely messed everything up. I get it. Did the talent perform to their capabilities? No. Do we think they were developed at any point to the top of their capabilities? No. Do we think they were coached to the top of their capabilities? No. Do we think they were game planned before games to their top of their capability? No. And you're really going to sit here and go, okay, well, you know, Hank T, number 3, Gray, number 4, Morris, number 7, Lawrence, number 9, Chandler, number 12. You're really going to say that those guys won't help another team compete for a championship? That those teams wouldn't help Tennessee be better, better this year with them than without them? That's just, I cannot think of a lazier, stupider take, and I see it on Twitter all the time. What are you watching? What were you watching last year? Okay, I just tell all the players to leave.
Oh, we're a 3-win team.
Oh, my God. If y'all disagree, let me know.
I don't understand. Why are you so mad?
Yeah.
Because people are dumb. Why are you sitting there, bad-mouthing these players?
Oh, like we really needed them to stay. Eric Gray wasn't even that good. How much did he did for a 3-win team? You couldn't even get him past a number on the back of his jersey in terms of wins. Get out of here. Get out of here.
What a lazy take. What a lazy take. Sorry.
You don't have to apologize for
it bothers me, man. Bothers me. I don't get it. I hate that.
Are you okay?
You don't need him on a 3-win team.
Who's saying this? Who was saying this?
You must not. We must not follow either the same people. You must. I must check Twitter.
I know what you mean by like people being like, "Well, let him go." I've got a question.
Do you really want to keep the talent on a 3-win team? They couldn't even get you to 4 wins.
Maybe we've talked about this before. These guys who haven't found a team in the portal, are they just stuck? Or can
no, they can come back.
They can come back. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there might be like 7-8 guys that come back because they can't find a team.
Yeah, I mean, Austin Pope was in the transfer before
he's back
came
now.
Back. I wish he would have stayed.
Nah,
I shouldn't say that.
No, that's okay. Kevon Bennett, maybe he comes back. There's still quite a handful of guys that still haven't found teams, like Quaveris Crouch, but we saw him in the video. Hank T, maybe he's still on the fence. The prediction, according to 247, is Alabama.
100%.
Yeah, 100% Alabama.
I don't think he's coming back.
Is he taking classes there right now?
I don't know.
Nobody knows that part. Yeah, we need to find out.
Has anybody seen Hank T at UT?
Not I, said the duck.
What?
What is this? Send us to break.
Not I, what said the duck.
And I wish, and I wish, and I wish, and I wish, and I wish.